Hello, what is the tea? Welcome back to the 3am podcast, or if you're a new listener, welcome for the first time. I feel like I kind of said that, like, this is a, sleep podcast or something where we just all get super zen together and just be zen. That's not the energy that I actually intend to bring to this podcast. It is the 3am podcast, but that's very much more about, like, you know, having not slept by the time it gets to 3am as opposed to being well and rested and all that kind of fun stuff. But no, my name is Jess. And as I said, welcome back or welcome for the first time. It's so good to have you here. I really don't fucking know what I want my logo to be, or if I even want a logo. So that's what's going on in my mind. Why is this the 3am podcast? Well, let me explain to you in a kind of weird position in the podcast, because I've already started to talk about other stuff, aka the logo. But it is the 3am podcast because we talk about the kinds of things that you might talk about at 3am, which essentially just means that there's not really any limits. And the conversation tends to get a little weird. So I'm glad to have you on board. But y'all, I am definitely having a crisis. Not like a, it's not the worst crisis, and I don't mean to use the word crisis flippantly, although, you know, just even the fact that I know what using a word flippantly means, and I laughed after I said that word that I said that I didn't mean to use flippantly, implies that one of those words is a lie, and honestly, at this point, I'm not 100% sure which one of them. But basically, don't mind me, I just punched the microphone. But, okay. You know what? I've gone off in a lot of different directions. But my crisis is that I don't know how literal I want to be with logos and imagery and stuff like that. And I also don't want to, here's the thing. I'm battling with figuring out the difference between being patient versus just not creating action. You know, like, how do you know when you're actually just being patient and waiting rather for the right thing, aka the right logo symbol? Wow, we're really fucking deep on this podcast. But yeah, how do you know when you're actually waiting to figure out what the right logo symbol is versus just absolutely not doing anything and just sitting there and telling yourself it's because you're trying to be patient? I really don't fucking know. Because here's the thing. This is the 3am podcast. So I was immediately like, hey, look, it should be a clock. And then I was looking at all these really cool old school, like, alarm clock style things. And then I was like, hold on. The vibe of this podcast isn't necessarily, like, cutesy and whimsical and, like, hipster and shit. So I'm like, should it be a digital clock? So I went down a whole rabbit hole of trying to create, like, a digital clock vibe. It didn't hit the fucking mark, you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't, you know, when you look at a logo or something and you're like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, this wasn't that. And I don't know, again, I don't know if it's because I'm being a perfectionist or because everything's ugly. So, like, I don't know whether to just, like, use one or whether to be like, no, girl, like, you can do better than that. And I just, like, basically what I'm saying is, if you are listening to this and if you would like to have a hand in figuring out what the fuck the podcast looks like, then please let me know. You know, just jump right in, become a stakeholder. A shareholder in the podcast. you know, just SOS. So anyway, it is very good to have you here. If you tried to listen to last week's podcast and you may have realized that it's disappeared since then, that's, I clicked back onto it to review and something happened and I seem to have put the different parts of the podcast in the incorrect order. So it was very confusing, didn't make sense. So I did delete it, but I've got the correct, segments saved on my computer. So I'll probably do a re-upload in the next couple of weeks. Just in case you see something and it says re-upload and then you listen to it and you're like, sounds familiar. But if you didn't get to listen to last week's episode, then this will be a good first chance and you'll be able to hear it, the correct way around. But this week I really felt like jumping on and just having a little bit of a conversation, having a little bit of a chit chat. Y'all, I have like a lot. Okay. So here's the thing as well with, again, it's a 3M podcast. You just talk about things that you might talk about when you get overtired, and y'all, I am over fucking tired. So let's just launch into a whole lot of things, shall we? First is I don't understand the whole sugar daddy, sugar baby dynamic. Okay, so I have, for those of you that may have, either know me personally or have watched some of my Instagram stories recently or have spoken to me or listened to one of my previous podcast episodes, I've fallen down a rabbit hole of being really, like, irrationally addicted to TikTok. And it's, you know what, I would love, like, I kind of lean towards being the cliche and being like, oh my god, it's a problem, like, so embarrassed. But I think I actually might be the opposite of embarrassed. Like, I'm fucking recruiting y'all. I am, snatching up your wives, snatching up your husbands, snatching up your kids, snatching up everybody and taking them over to TikTok because that is just where it's fucking at. But I've seen not many, but probably like two or three TikToks in the last like week or so that have mentioned people having sugar daddies that they've never met, that they have no kind of like sexual obligation to. They don't have to send like sexual pictures. By the sounds of it, one of them doesn't have to send any pictures at all, just goes on and asks for money, and this old dude sends her money. Like, what? Okay, first of all, boy, oh boy, do I wish that I had that don't give a fuck gene. Like, if I could stomach to just get free cash from old ass random people that just have all this money laying around that are super willing to throw it away without me having to do anything other than say, hey y'all, pay for this, then boy, when I tell you, I'll be there right now. But unfortunately, I have this little thing. I'm not gonna say that it's pride. I've got that, but, in this situation, it's unrelated. But I have this little thing called, oh my fucking god, if anyone ever found out, and I'm a super unlucky fucking person, so someone would absolutely find out, I would have to move off this planet immediately. I've got a little thing called that. I think it's called, like, how fucking mortifying would it ever be? For someone to find out that you're a sugar baby. But boy, I tell you, if I did not have that gene, let me tell you this one thing. The podcast, that quality, it would just be fire. I would have enough money to put just egg cartons on the wall. Shout out to Dave, who, will probably take this moment to say that he didn't listen to this moment, but I would definitely put egg cartons on the wall. I would get a second mic. I would figure the fuck out how to record a call so I can actually interview people without it sounding like I'm stuck in a wind tunnel. Oh, life would be really, it would be really going somewhere. But no, I don't understand it. Like, other than those couple of TikToks, I know that I've seen like parts of documentaries in the past that have mentioned it. I can say that I haven't gone down like any rabbit hole of it, which is really fucking surprising. Maybe that's my next to-do item. But like, what's the buzz? Like, especially the fact that it sounds like there's not even any kind of like transference of photos or videos or acts of service or fucking anything. Like, it just seems like literally this whole quote-unquote relationship is just an old dude, or I'm sure sometimes an old woman, or someone who's old and non-binary, and then someone who's young. That, again, that seems to be the dynamic. I don't know. Oh my god, can you have really rich young people that just give money to like older not rich people? What is that? Because I swear to god, that cannot be called like a fucking sugar child. I will call the police right now. But like, wait, that must be a thing. So like older people that message young rich people and say, hey, can I have, is that, should I Google that? Should I Google what's the reverse of a sugar daddy? Oh, no. Well, what is the opposite of a, what is the opposite of a S? And it said synonym, square root, sociopath, stalactite, shadow, and then sugar daddy, and then salutation. Okay. It doesn't say anything. It literally seems like that doesn't exist. Like a young rich person that gives money to an older person. Because, like, I don't know. Wonder if it doesn't exist or if it's so fucking underground. Maybe I've just exposed some people. Maybe there's someone listening to this right now that's like, Jess, I swear to fucking god, you better not talk about this community and expose us. And to you, I'd say, message the podcast. Literally, if you just hear, by the way, I have this ridiculous fucking drink bottle, which is just on my bed and I keep hitting it. And it'll survive. I think I just put it out of the way. But yeah, message to the podcast. Maybe you can be the person that I test how to record calls, like online calls that I can put into the podcast. And that would be a great time because, like, I want to know what the buzz is. Like, why? What do you do? What's the tea? So, I mean, just to clarify, I did say that I've been having a crisis. My crisis isn't what is a sugar baby or a sugar daddy or the opposite to that. I've just had a lot going on in my brain. And I think a lot of it is to do with, like, just general. And this is going to be super, 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 super fucking general. But just like, well, we really, truly love accidentally cutting off a recording. I do know that this is a recording. What I could do is just, instead of telling you I cut off the recording, I could just edit the recording. But like, who's got the time? And yeah, I know I could use the time that I took to just explain and ask you who has the time to actually do the editing, but like, who has the energy, you know? That's probably, who has the time and who has the energy? No, seriously, who does have the time and who does have the energy? Because I would like to negotiate. I'd like to get a little bit of time, get a little bit of energy. No, sorry, I'm being a real Karen right now. I've got plenty of time, plenty of energy. Everything's going great, but I am definitely having an identity crisis, so that's good. So here's the thing. I am like every version of a core 100% Aquarius that you could ever meet. And if that sentence just sent some of you over the edge, then buckle in, boy, because it's about to be a fucking trip. So here's the thing. In a nutshell, Aquarian types, and I really implore you to look into the different sides of the zodiac before you completely write it off. It might actually give you comfort to know that I'm constantly being very skeptical of all of this stuff being angel cards, psychics, zodiac stuff, paranormal things. Like, I'm constantly very skeptical. For example, I have seen a couple of psychics, and let's just say that I would say 90% of all quote unquote psychics are absolute fraudsters, con artists, like bullshit. Maybe even significantly more than that. But every so often, you know, there's just things that you can't fucking explain. Like, you know, when you mentally, in your own head, didn't say it out loud, didn't Google the repercussions, didn't send a text message, didn't do anything, but in your head decide that you, with about half a year of uni left, are just going to quit uni. In your head. And then that day, a psychic says, by the way, when are you going to tell your housemates that you decided to quit uni today? I would like to see you fucking explain how that happens. You know, however, if you live by the beach and you go to a psychic and they say, ooh, I see a lot of blue, is it possible, you know, will you be going on any summer vacation soon? Because I see a lot of blue and a lot of sand, and you're literally across the fucking road from Malulabar Beach. That, my friends, is when you know you're a bullshit artist. True stories and true stories. And just to cover my ass, when I say literally across the road from Malulabar Beach, it's not that place that's kind of on the same stretch as the 7-Eleven. Just in case anyone's here and like wants to track down the people, haven't gone to that place. This person is no longer there, but they were. And they were real bad at their job. anyway, so, what's the tea? I think I was saying something about me being an Aquarius. Ah, yes. So, Aquarian types. Very good at getting to know absolutely everything about you whilst giving away nothing about me. But then the real catch with that is that although we don't give away anything about ourselves, we're very good at like projecting what we think the person. So we apparently project whatever we think the person we're talking to is going to feel the most comfortable with. You know, our focus is always, is, you know, Aquarians end up being humanitarians and all that kind of fun stuff. And honestly, it's hella Aquarians in, that have been, you know, sanctioned and officially named as insane. So, like, it ain't all a party over here. It is quite a party over here, but it ain't all a party over here. Wow. Watch me get literally carried away after this episode. But no, there's this thing, but like, I realized that I kind of sometimes don't 100% know, like, which version of myself is the one that I really want to lean into. And when I say that, I don't mean that in like a, you know, it's not like a two-faced way or anything. It's just that I am very good at, like, sectioning it off. I am very good at sectioning off different characteristics for different times. So, for example, I can be hell serious, and I'm a bit of a rule nerd. Like, I really like rules. I really fucking like rules. I really fucking like regulations. I love if there's boundaries. Love that shit. Love, love, love. Therapist thinks that that's because I don't really know what those are. So I love when other people bring them to the table. So that's a fun plot twist. But love boundaries, love rules, very respectful of rules. But part of the reason why I think I love rules so much is because then I know exactly where the edge is, so I know like where to push, but I also know what the limits are. Like, I will question things if I don't think they make sense, much to the disdain of, you know, several people I come across. But I love having those rules. Having no rules, no boundaries or anything can get me kind of like panicked. However, so there's that, there's like the rule person. However, sometimes I can really lean into the complete, like, I cannot deal with rules, cannot deal with regulation things, and almost become like a little bit of like a, I don't know, just like a, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I genuinely, like, cannot write on paper that has lines on it. I know that sounds very fucking millennial. I know that sounds very fucking, like, basic privileged bullshit. And y'all, honestly, it is. But paper with lines on it, I don't know what happened in my brain, but I write half as, like, I write at half the speed. I make insane spelling mistakes. I forget things before I've even written them down. It's insane. Whereas when I just write on blank paper, easy. Everything comes out correctly. Everything happens smoothly. Everything gets written exactly as it should. It's just a fucking dream. And honestly, it's like my brain is like, don't tell me where to write. So it just fucking stops trying to write. Full stop. And then you have like, you know, I'm a very say whatever kind of person. Push the boundaries in conversation, even listen to any one of these podcasts. I don't mind swearing. I'm pretty, you know, I back myself in certain situations. Like, don't really have an issue saying it like it is. But at the same time, there is also a part of me that will be like hyper, hyper, hyper aware of the room, I suppose. I am always, always, quote unquote, reading the room. I can tell very easily, like, what kind of conversation and, quote, like, in quotation marks, audience wants to have. It's part of the reason why when I was doing public speaking competitions, like, the impromptu sections, piece of fucking piss. Like, impromptu speeches, give an impromptu speech to me all day, because I feel like it's just so simple to be able to read a room. And then say, like, say your opinion in a way that caters to the feeling of the room. So it's like, on one hand, I can tailor stuff at the drop of a hat. On the other hand, I don't really care. I don't know. This is basically like a really long-winded way of me saying, like, what's the vibe of this podcast? Like, I know that it's conversations that happen after 3 a.m., but even those themselves, like, sometimes those conversations will be me talking about the fucking meaning of planet Earth with one of my friends, and the meaning of the universe, and fucking parallel universes and then quantum physics, and then like sometimes it'll be that, and sometimes it'll literally be which Kardashian we are, whether or not Cardi is better than Nicki, whether you like either of them, you know? And so it's like, how do I, like, do I just keep both of those kinds of things on this podcast, or do I section it out so that you listening can have more of a niche experience? Because I don't fucking know, man. Like, I think I just keep them both on here, because at the end of the day, this is just whatever happens in my brain. And I don't really want to go about and create a quote-unquote, like, micro brand of myself, because, like, fuck that, you know? But it's just difficult to know, because, like, I don't want to alienate too many people. But at the same time, if me just being me is going to alienate people, then, like, solstice. You know, anyway, I'm just gonna have a water break, so have fun with some water ASMR. So yeah, that's my identity crisis. And as I said, if you think zodiac stuff is bullshit, first of all, honestly, maybe it is. As crazy, you know, as some of the experiences I've had are, maybe they're just coincidences. I don't have the arrogance, I suppose, to say that I know for a fact. But I also don't really have the arrogance to deny the few bits of really, really kind of concrete what the fuck moments that I've had. So I don't know, if you have the answer to all things in the universe other than 42, please let me know, Bindi. Okay. Ow, what just stabbed me? Do you ever have that? Like, you're just walking along, or you just go to lie down, or you just sit somewhere and something just looks like, bam! And you're like, that's so rude. So, do you know what's really, 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 really interesting? This is a true shift. No. Oh, my God. Guys, do not let me do that. I didn't even finish telling you the thing about the zodiac. If you are interested, then I really recommend there's this app called CoStar. It's literally CoStar. You enter your information. It helps if you know your birth time. It gives you a breakdown of your full zodiac chart. You can then read through those and kind of gauge whether or not knowing your full zodiac chart, as opposed to just your quote, like your sun sign, which is the one that most people know. Like if you ever say, "Oh yeah, I'm an Aquarius," or just like, "Oh yeah, I'm a Leo," then that usually is you talking about your sun sign. But for example, I am a, God, this is about to be the douchiest thing I've ever said, but I think it's like, I'm an Aquarius sun and a Pisces, is it Pisces rising or a Pisces moon? I don't know, but people see me as a Pisces on face value, and then I hit them like a whole ass Aquarius, boy. But yeah, I really recommend you look at that. And it also sends you little things each day that kind of keep you in check. Like, what was one that my friend got the other day? Was it Focus on the Best, Fuck the Rest or something? Like, you need, like, get you an app that really, like, gasses you up. Like, get you an app that will just be like, yes, bitch, slay. Get it, because that's honestly, we're living in 2019, y'all, about to be 2020. Like, if your apps don't gas you the fuck up, then like, why are we here, you know? Okay, good news. And that is that, oh yeah, I definitely cut, by the way. Oh my gosh, you could have just edited it and not even told us. Well, sorry, Karen, but I told you, and I didn't edit it. Shh. So, the thing that I was going to say, which I was like, this is a real pivot, super crazy, is like a little observation that I've made talking to friends that work in all different places, friends that work, you know, in small startups, in big corporates, friends that work as social media influencers, friends that have had little bursts of working for themselves, friends that maybe own their own business but are in partnerships with other people, and, you know, so they're sharing who's at the helm. And what is really interesting is this shift that is happening in quote unquote the industry, and the industry is just basically anywhere where there's an employee-employer dynamic. And that is that, like, your employees don't work for you. Like, it is your job to make sure that your you look after your employees. Full disclosure, I really, 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 really love and adore Gary Vee. And this is a concept that he's spoken about before. So I'm not owning this concept, right? And, you know, he didn't even come up with the concept. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. Gary Vee's probably one of the ones that's added the most to the conversation that I've heard of. But you've got, you know, people like Simon Sinek, who's really been driving like what the responsibilities of employees are, blah, 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 versus employees and stuff like that. But I'm not going to get into logistics. I'm just going to talk about like learned experience as someone who has helped employ, still only as a manager, you know, not me owning my own business, but managed employees, and also someone who has been an employee. You know, I remember when I first started working, and I just knew that I was like lucky to have a job. And so whatever my job said to me, I did. That's pretty, like, that's pretty much what working was in a nutshell. Like, if my hours were, you know, 10 till 4 on a Saturday, I knew I had to be there 10 till 4 on a Saturday. If they asked me, or rather told me, hey, look, we're adding these hours for you, I had to do those hours. If there were jobs that I didn't want to do, jobs I didn't like, jobs that I thought were kind of like a little bit silly for anyone to do, let alone just me, but I was told to do them, I just had to do them, because I was like, okay, I'm lucky to have this job. Things that weren't exactly just. So, for example, I worked in cosmetics. I won't say the store. I think I've said what companies I've worked for in cosmetics before, but I won't say the store that I worked in. But we would often work, you know, up to 12-hour shifts, but we were actually not allowed to sit at all. But we also had to wear heels. And that was something I did. I remember I got these new heels. They gave me a blister on my foot, but they were new, and I was just like, you know, suck it up, your feet are in agony by the end of like any shift for sure. But I was like, you know what, just like suck it up, you have to do this, whatever. Anyway, flash forward a couple of weeks, and I actually ended up in hospital, like rushed to hospital through emergency and everything, because my blood had gone toxic, and I had actually given myself, as it septicemia, like my blood had gone toxic, and I had cellulitis all through my skin. So this one like blister on my foot, because I had to stand for 12 hours a day in heels and was not allowed to sit, and also was pretty much like not denied sick leave, but you got the Spanish Inquisition if you even applied for sick leave or called up to say, like, I can't come in, I'm feeling sick. Yeah, I ended up in hospital, and actually they sent me home. I had to take 2 weeks off work, I think, and I had a nurse come and visit me every single day to put me on a drip to help clear up my blood. If I had have left it a couple more days, they said that I could have, like, my organs could have just started to shut down. So, but the thing is, it's like, at that point, I never thought this is so wrong that, you know, we are being made to be in this position, standing for 12 plus hours a day in heels, not able to, like, sit, and with limited ability to have any days off, you know. I never thought that, because I was like, well, I'm lucky to have a job, which I was, you know. Or at least I thought it was. So that's, you know, that's what I remember working being like. Whereas now, like, if I was ever in that exact scenario, and I know some girls that are still working for the same company, different roles, most of them have gone to some kind of manager position. But first of all, they are, again, at least in the store that I was in, absolutely able to wear flats. There's no way that they have to wear heels. They can wear flat shoes. There are often, like, seats where they can sit. Work health and safety for them is a way bigger deal. Simple things like, I don't think you were able to ask, you know, what were you sick with? Or rather, I know you weren't able to ask, because one of my colleagues actually sassed the managers when they asked her. Legally, you can't say, what are you sick with? Or, like, what's wrong with you? Or whatever, if someone calls in sick. But, like, now you really, really can't. So, like, if I was sick, I would have been able to call in and just say, like, hey, look, I'm not coming in, and not face a whole lot of questions. There's more provisions kind of for the employee, I suppose. But because that is such a cultural move, like, all businesses are kind of looking at what they can do to really look after employees so much more. I get so blown away, when I hear of examples of people, like, in today's day and age, mistreating employees that they know can just go somewhere else. Like, I feel like you didn't have as many options to just go somewhere else when I started working, or do something else. Whereas now, like, if you don't find any business that allows you to, you know, feel comfortable and safe and have your whole Maslow's hierarchy looked after, it's easier than ever to actually make money for yourself, by yourself. You could, you know, look at social media influencing. You could just start selling stuff and create your own mini business on, like, Amazon or Facebook. There's so many different ways to leverage job positions. You could go on LinkedIn and, like, connect to different people and find jobs that way. You could talk to friends on Instagram. You can have a, like, the options are so far and wide that if you're an employer, every day you should be, like, selling why you're the place to work to employees, not cracking down on them as though they can't just get the fuck up and leave. Because I still have so many friends that I talk to, and they're like, you know, my boss made me pick up an extra couple of hours. Or, oh, you know, my roster completely changed and now I have to do this. Or things that are, like, really, really life-changing and can sometimes be really detrimental or whatever it is. And it's not the change, but it's the assumption about how those people are approached. Like, well, you have to do this. Like, you work for me. Like, no. Like, now those people can just go and leave. And I'm so happy that I've had friends that I've literally seen do that, you know, like, in jobs that just didn't serve them. They've just been able to go, no, I'm sorry, but you don't treat me like that. I'm off. And yeah, you know, I understand there's probably someone listening to this, which is like, no, you know, people should learn resilience and they should learn like to stick with stuff. And I actually really agree with that. I'm a big believer that it's difficulty that really makes it's difficulty that really helps you to enjoy ease. You know, it's having really tough times that make you better often and stronger. So I'm not saying, you know, we cushion people, although, you know, how you get that balance right is another conversation in itself. But just, yeah, that audacity, I think every so often you hear of different employers or managers or whatever that still seem to have this mentality that, like, the employee just is trapped into their employer. And that's just not the reality anymore. So it's quite naive. It's definitely an employee's market right now. And who's to say that won't change tomorrow? But I don't think it's going to change for several years. So if you're listening to this and you have your own employees, just know that they can go fucking anywhere and don't try and stop them. That's another thing, actually. So one of my friends works for a smaller business, doing a kind of role where she can do a variety of things. But has found that what she actually really excels in wasn't even originally part of her mandate, but no one was doing it because it's a very, very, very small staff. No one was doing it. And it's basically, so the business she worked in is selling handmade products, right? Most of their business is done online, but it's like online handmade retail products. So originally her job was to manage the website, make sure the prices are updated, talk to the people shipping the stuff, etc. But what my friend found a particular skill in was actually getting the stuff like featured with other companies. So working with them, got a couple of the products featured by influencers, which is really, really cool, and just started doing like real networky stuff, which was really profitable to the business. Her manager basically was like, hey, you can't do this. This isn't your job. To which my friend was like, okay, I understand, but then can I ask, like, can this be my job and can we maybe hire someone else or get someone else to do the original stuff, because what I'm doing now is actually way more helpful for you. Like, it was bringing in a lot more money, and I'm really good at it and I'm really passionate about it. And the response was essentially, no, because it just wasn't your job. Like, how do you have the audacity to do something that's not your job? And so my friend basically was like, fine. If I can't do what I love, then I'm out. And so she is going to be starting a new job soon. I tried to say that as vague as possible so that I don't think it's likely that anyone that she works with or for would be listening to this, but it's also not entirely impossible. But yeah, she will be working somewhere else very, very soon. And now that business is down, not only someone that does the networking, but also someone that does all that original stuff. So look, I'm not saying hold, like, you should be held ransom by what people want to do, by whims that people want to follow or anything like that. I absolutely don't think that that's how you should live your life or go about your day. But just remember that, like, people can leave. So treat them well. Treat them really fucking well. And I think I'm going to butcher this actual quote, but the sentiment from Richard Branson, which is train people so well that they could go anywhere, treat them so well that they stay. That's the key. And if someone wants to go, fucking support them. Support them, have their back, let them go. But just like treat people super well, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I find that hella interesting. But you know what? My stomach is super growly, which is so annoying because it's literally like 10 p.m. when I'm recording this and I don't want to eat anything. And I've had an insane amount of water. So maybe I'll just have something lame, like some fruit or some shit. Life could be dream. Life could be dream. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, that's pretty much it. This is quite a big, chunky podcast today. Before I go, I remember one of the most recent episodes, I spoke about Beetlejuice, my newfound love for the Beetlejuice musical. Okay. So, there is one song, which is Dead Mom, M-O-M, Dead Mom, which is incredible, and I've put it all over my Instagram, so if you have me on Instagram, you've already seen this, you can fucking unsubscribe now, but I just need you to listen to this fucking key change and the ability to belt that this, I think she's 17-year-old actress has that plays Lydia from Beetlejuice. I'm just going to play you with this. And then I'll be back at the very end to, like, say a quick goodbye. But this is 1:06, so, like, buckle in. That fucking key change, though. I'm just going to force you to listen to the key change one more time, and then you know how it is. It's just a really fucking good key change. That key change, though. Yeah, really good, really good, good vibes, good times. Cool. So I'm going to leave you to it now. Before I go though, if you could do me a really great favor and jump onto Apple Podcasts, even if you're listening to this on Spotify, I get it. I flip between the two. There's some podcasts I listen to on Apple, some I listen to on Spotify. But if you could jump onto Apple Podcasts and rate this podcast, that would really help me out. It just helps it get seen. And then the other podcast that you listen to, it will pick up that it's similar to this podcast. And, you know, we'll just have a grand old time. So, yeah, if you could jump on and rate this and leave a review, that would be really, really, really cool. Otherwise, feel free to follow the podcast on at the 3am podcast on Instagram. So that's at @3am podcast, on Instagram, and just have a great time. And also, if you click the link in the Instagram, then you've actually got the option to send me a voice message. And I will try to get round to those if I can. There's been a long, you know, history with those. But if that doesn't work, then try send me one on Instagram, a voice message. But yeah, thank you. Live your best life and talk to you one time. Bye.